Midnight at the Oasis.
Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Maria Muldaur is a name that has been familiar to my ears since I was a teenager. She can be familiar to your ears, too. On this edition of Radio Curious, a conversation that was recorded at the studios of Mendocino College on Monday, April 19th, 2010. So we visited, Maria and I, and here's a little bit of our conversation. Maria Muldaur, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thanks for having me.
So the story that I've read is that sometime when you were 17, you decided the world was for you, and you split. You ran away from home, made it a few blocks away.
Well, you got to back up here. I was born and raised in Greenwich Village, which is, in, for those who don't know, is a little area of Lower Manhattan in New York City. And at the time, and probably still today, was the epicenter of all things hip. That's the neighborhood I grew up in. And at the age of 17, you know, having the typical altercations with my Italian parents who were very strict and didn't think I should ever go out and have any fun, I, you know, at the beginning of my senior year, I just had it with them and ran away from home. But because I was already in the place where everybody else was running away to, I only felt the need to move about six blocks away and got a job as a mother's helper, which is what they called an au pair in those days, and because I wanted to finish high school. And I, because I found myself on that street, at the end of the block was a sandal shop. Where a guy named Alan Block made fit-to-order sandals. It was all the rage in those days. It was the early beatnik look. They drew your foot, and then there were six or seven different styles you could get. And I just had my heart set on this pair that were these, like, little Roman lace-up sandals, and must have been the Italian in me. That's the pair I wanted. They were way more money than I had at the time, and so he said I could. He'd make them for me, and I could pay him off at a dollar a week. So on Saturdays, I cleaned house, and every Saturday, I'd go and give him my dollar. As it turned out, every Saturday, about 2 o'clock, he shut off all his sandal-making machinery and so forth, and who knew, he was an old-time fiddler. Come about 2 o'clock every Saturday afternoon, the sandal shop would fill up with the likes of John Cohen, Mike Seeger, just all kinds of wonderful old-time musicians, all the guys that went on to become the New Lost City Ramblers. Here I am paying for my little sandals, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this amazing music that just plucked my heartstrings and captured, just totally captivated me. And Alan Block would be there fiddling away. There were banjo players, mandolin players, and so forth. And little Rory, I was 17 and she was 12. That's how long we know each other. She was at the fringes backing them up on guitar. She was already a great guitar player. And I really wanted to learn to play fiddle, and he said he would show me. He was very nice to me. And a friend of mine's dad loaned me one of his violins, and so that was the beginning, my first little fledgling attempts to play old-time Appalachian music, but I loved to sing also. I found myself going to little, what they called hootenannies back in those days, and jam sessions, and the sandal shop jam every Saturday, and learning a lot of these early, you know, these wonderful tunes. I mean, American roots music of all, it was the doorway, through the door of the sandal shop, I just went into this magical land of not only Appalachian music, but through that blues, the people like John Cohen and Ralph Rinsler, who was a mandolin player with a bluegrass group called the Greenbrier Boys, and Mike Seeger and a various group of them formed something called the Friends of Old Time Music. They were all older than me by at least 10 years, but they had already started going down to the rural South and finding all these amazing American roots artists, bringing them to the urban North and putting them on in concert at places as varied as Carnegie Hall or a little coffee shop or folk festival or whatever. So totally immersed in this wonderful music, and it captured me and has been my big passion from that day to this. We were speaking of Odetta, bless her soul. She was definitely, she was one of the first people to have a folk album out at that time. I remember her being a big influence on me. There were a couple of albums I bought back in those days that really made a lifetime impression on me.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Maria Muldaur, who is the artist in residence at Mendocino College, and she's here for a week, the week of April 19th. So tell us about a song perhaps connected to the authenticity you were just sharing with us, and perhaps connected with Friday evening.
Well, let's see. I've made 36 albums in the 36 years since my big pop hit, Midnight at the Oasis. And in the last 7 years or so, I've focused on albums that pay tribute to these legendary blues pioneers that we've been talking about a little bit. There is one I have that's really special that was originally done by Mississippi Fred McDowell, who was a well-known, very raw kind of bluesman who played slide guitar. And because he is the very person that taught my dear soul sister, Miss Bonnie Raitt, how to play slide guitar, I asked her to come play this song with me on my Richland Woman Blues album. And it's an old, what they call a field holler, just an old Southern spiritual called It's a Blessing. He did it with his wife on this field recording someone had done of him years ago. And it's a very haunting song, and people are always very moved by it, so I think that would be a good one to play.
I am marching every day. I'm meeting trials on my way. Short of blessings, but I'm going on just the same. Folks complaining on every side, except me, Lord, I'm satisfied. I am marching every day. I'm meeting trials on my way. Short of blessings, but I'm going on just the same.
I'd like to ask how you would present those songs, I Am a Woman.
I'm a Woman, yeah.
If you assumed the gender, I'm a man, what would you sing? What would you say?
Well, I'd sing line? Muddy Waters, I'm a Man. I spell M. I spell A. I spell N. Mang. There was actually a G on at the end of it, the way he did it. I'm a Woman is a song that is a litany of all the wonderful skills the average woman has to have just to be a woman in this world. You know, and they're all self-reliant skills. You know, I can cook, I can clean, I can change the baby, I can go out and go to work, I can change the tire, I can love my man, I can make you feel all right, I can heal you. It's all the things that women can do. And it's funny because it came out in the 70s when Women's Lib was just getting underway, and it had always been a song people wanted to hear. It was my next biggest hit after Midnight at the Oasis, but I'd been already singing it for about 10 years. And then I got some flack from various feminist groups for, why are you singing that? Because it talked about a lot of very typical womanly duties or chores or tasks or whatever you want to, I call them skills. And at first I felt kind of apologetic, and then I went, wait a minute. I can do all of these things. It's a wonderful anthem of feminine self-reliance, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And I sing it to this day. I open every show with it. So that's who I am. And I can do every single one of the things it says in the song except change the oil in my car. And that's for guys to do. I'm not a feminist. I'm a feminist. I believe that there's things that men are born to do and things that women are born to do. And anybody that wants to do different things, that's fine. But I rather cook and sweet talk some guy into changing my oil. When I was a young woman married to Jeff Muldaur and we had a young baby, I was making the same money as him because I was in a band with him. At least I got equal pay. I had to go to all the same rehearsals, but I had to do all the cooking, cleaning, sewed my gig outfits, sewed his gig shirts, sewed clothes for the baby, had an organic garden, made my own granola, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he went to the pool hall when we weren't playing, when we weren't, you know, rehearsing or on stage. And I kept going, there's something wrong with this picture. But I didn't have the ammunition to articulate it. And interestingly enough, a strong part of the women's lib movement started right down the street where we were living in Cambridge, Mass. And this gal named Abby Rockefeller put out a manifesto. She put it under our door. It was called The Politics of Housework. And it was just a huge, there's an epiphany for you. I read that, and it talked about just that dilemma of why is it that women are called upon to do so many things, and men can just have a job and come home and light their pipe and read the paper, and that's the end of it for them.
And the answer is?
Because they can. Because they could. That changed a lot of things. And outside of the music business, there apparently wasn't equal pay for women. And women have been subjugated for millennia. And everything that the Women's Lib movement put forth is good. I agree with it, except where it gets strident and overbearing and where they tell me what I can sing.
I would suspect that you draw the line when anybody would tell you what you could sing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there were times in my years after Midnight at the Oasis where the producer brought various songs to me that could have been big hits, and I just couldn't stand them, so I wouldn't do them. And one of them was a song, it was an old song by the Hollies called You're No Good, You're No Good, You're No Good, Baby, You're No Good. And I said to my producer, Lenny, I said, Lenny, why would I want to put that message out over the airwaves? Let's say we're lucky enough to have it be a hit and be on the radio. Why would people are telling each other that enough every day? Parents are telling it to kids, men are telling it to women, and vice versa. So I just did not want to do the song. Well, guess what? Linda Ronstadt made a hit of it about a year later and took all that money to the bank. But I don't regret it for a minute because it's just not a message I want to spend my vocal cords putting out there.
Well, good for you. I'd like to go back to what we were talking about before, and that's the feminist area, the equality, gender equality and political gender equality. A song, Bessie's Advice, by Eric Bibb.
I was a big fan of Eric's, and he brought this song to me, which he had written for me, about a young woman who dreams that Bessie Smith, the great blues queen, comes to her in her dreams and gives her the whole lowdown, the whole nitty-gritty on the whole man-woman issue, if you will. And who would know better than Bessie Smith? You know, she probably saw it all. In fact, I think that one of the powerful things about the blues is that back in those days, it was before, you know, there was all these self-help books and the Oprah show and the Dr. Phil show and all this. And people got a lot of very practical wisdom from the blues, and especially the women in the blues, because they saw things as they really were, not some namby-pamby whitewashed version of reality, but real reality.
Or maybe they sang them as they saw them.
Well, that too, yeah. So in this song, Bessie tells this woman, you know, to stand up for herself, and if she's being abused and mistreated and so forth, to just get the hell out of there. And it's a really hip song, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Bessie's Advice by Eric Bibb, as sung by Maria Muldaur.
If the shoe don't fit, honey, don't keep it on. If you're looking for a king,
Why settle for a pawn? If you don't wanna stay, girl, get gone. It's alright, Bessie told me in a dream last night. If he raises his voice, look him straight in the eye. If he raises his hand, tell him don't even try. If he starts to raise hell, tell him bye-bye. Why fight? Bessie told me in a dream last night. Don't you mess with no dude that's rude and mean. Cause baby, don't you know you're a queen? Don't you keep no dude that's rude and mean. Baby doll, don't you know you're a queen? And if he's doing you right, oh honey, let it show. If his kisses are sweet, let that man know. If his love is true, don't let him go, hold tight. Oh, Bessie told me in a dream last night. If he lights up your world, don't matter where he's been. If he's just what you want, honey, tell him come on in. Wave goodbye to your tears till they're clean out of sight. By today, that's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. That's what Bessie Smith told me in a dream last night. And don't you know I always take Bessie's advice? You know she's just like a mama to me. Yeah. She said, love that man, but if he treats you mean, honey, you just get right out of that scene. That's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. And I always take her advice. She said, get it, bring it, and put it right here. And if you can't do that, you got to keep it out there. That's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. Better advice. That's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. said, little sister, find a man that's gonna treat you right. That's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. If he's mean, don't make a scene, just walk out that door. 'Cause honey, you were born for a whole lot more. That's what Bessie told me in my dream last night. And I always take her advice.
Bessie's Advice by Eric Bibb, sung by Maria Muldaur, with the last verse written by Maria Muldaur.
Yeah, I put some positive things in there.
Good advice.
Thank you.
Well, Maria Muldaur, I thank you very much for being with us on
My
Radio
pleasure.
Curious. And I have a couple of questions, one of which you kind of answered a little bit earlier, and that is an epiphany or a eureka moment. You mentioned that when the message of the politics of housework
came in.
Was slipped under your door.
Yeah.
When you were living in Cambridge.
Pamphlet, yeah. And that's when I realized I wasn't crazy, and there was something dreadfully out of balance about me doing all the housework and all the baby care and all the gardening, sewing, cooking, cleaning, etc., and earning the same money as my husband. And that's when I started to very timidly assert myself, but armed with the articulated message that these gals were putting out.
So, Maria Muldaur, I think you just answered the next question. But the question is, what would you like to do with the rest of your one precious life?
My one precious life? I can't think of anything other to do. People say, are you going to retire? And I often quote Willie Nelson, who says, you ask if I want to retire. Well, I spend half my time playing golf and half my time making music. Which do you want me to retire from? I don't play golf, but I just love making music. I love playing live. It's a occupation with instant gratification. I open my mouth and sing. People feel happy. People get up and dance if that's the situation. And people say they feel healed. So what more could you do with your one precious life?
And finally, Maria Muldaur, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
A couple I would mention is, one is called, it's a book by a woman named Florence Scoville Shin, S-H-I-N. And it's actually, she wrote a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It in the, I think, late 20s. And people like Norman Vincent Peale, which everyone's heard of the book he wrote called The Power of Positive Thinking, he was her disciple. And there's a book called The Wisdom of Florence Scoville Shin that I came across about a dozen years ago, which is actually all four of her little books put together. And another book more recently written is by a guy named Tony Burrows, and it's called The Code. And he started something in Hawaii about 15, 20 years ago called The Intenders Circles. And he just found in his life that if he put out his intentions in a conscious way and then got together with other people of like mind who would support him in his intentions, miraculous, amazing things would start to happen. These are like my little Bibles. I carry them around and remember to always speak for the highest good and always to put out a positive intention. We all have so much negative talk in our brain, you know, so this keeps me from dwelling there and to going into positive creative emanations as much as I possibly can.
Well, Maria Muldaur, I want to thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Well, thanks for having me, Barry.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed.
Maria Muldaur is the artist in residence at Mendocino College for the week beginning April 19th, 2010. The books that she recommends are several. Two of them by Florence Scoville Shin. One is The Game of Life and How to Play It. Another is The Wisdom of Florence Scoville Shin. And she also points to Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and Tony Burrow's book, The Code. This edition of Radio Curious was recorded in the studios of Mendocino College, and I want to give special thanks to Steve Oliveira for setting up the program and for Paul Kemp for engineering it. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious are available on our website, www.radiocurious.org. You can also subscribe to the Radio Curious podcast by clicking on our website. Our programs are also available in CD format. To get a copy, visit our website, radiocurious.org, for further details. And we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and do enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone number is 707-462-6541. Our programs are recorded in our studios in Ukiah, California. Hannah Bird heads our post-production staff. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us. But you won't need no harem, honey, when I'm by your side. And you won't need no camel, no, no, when I take you for a romance in our